Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hassan Piker, legend of the left, king of the crazy, as I might call him, has decided that of all the Democrats he would love to see in 2028, his winner, winner, chicken dinner is one Miss Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What say you?
Color me shocked. Color me surprised.
But it came down to her and Ro Khanna. I feel like you're a Ro fan.
I like the work that Ro has done on Epstein. I think that he's been one of the most effective members of the oversight committee that I have seen in a long time. That is my affinity for Ro Khanna is based on the oversight committee. Not saying president of the United States, totally different conversation. But AOC is Piker's. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. AOC is not to be trifled with. She is an effective communicator. She understands messaging in the 21st century. That puts her ahead of half the people.
Can we just pause real quick? An effective communicator. Dare we talk about this word salad queen trying to go abroad for her first time and meddle into geopolitics? We want to talk about what a good communicator is.
I should rephrase that. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm going to rephrase that. She's an effective, absolute mess.
She is an effective domestic policy communicator. She's got some work to do on the foreign policy ground. Who doesn't among us? I will say she's
I feel like I have a better grasp than she does.
Well, here we go with the Aaron McGuire for president campaign kicking off here.
I mean, I am over 35.
That would be a debate I'd love to watch, actually. Aaron versus AOC. Anyways, the one thing I will say is it's very clear to me that Republicans certainly view her very seriously. And the way I know that is right now at this very second, they are literally refusing to move on a bipartisan AI deepfake bill endorsed by Alexa Paris Hilton, where even Nancy Mace is on this bill. And they're not doing it because
Nancy Mace is a rational individual, because
AOC is one of the lead sponsors of this. Is a bill that cleared the Senate with room to spare, a rare thing to do this day and age. It's been sitting in the Judiciary Committee, not moving for a markup. And it started coming out in the last 24 hours that a lot of it has to do with they don't want to give AOC a win, which I think is an insanely stupid reason not to move legislation. This is the second time we have seen House Republicans or the White House or the Senate not move on something that is a win for them, a bipartisan win. Those are not normal, very rare. And they're not moving on it because of some stupid political thing that doesn't even matter because people don't get elected based on how many bills they pass. So clearly, Republicans are afraid of AOC.
Listen, I'll take the political fight on it, right? You going to go to a bill signing? You think AOC is going to go to that bill signing? I don't think so.
Do they have those anymore? They didn't do one for the housing bill y'all passed.
Well, listen, he didn't need to sign it because that's just how the legislative process works. It doesn't always need the old signature. It can auto-default into legislation.
Then this could just pass Congress and no signing needed.
I can take that. I can understand the political argument they want to make because as a political animal yourself, you know why. I'm not saying it's the right decision, but you know why they would not give Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who calls the president every name under the sun, including a Nazi and everything else.
I don't want to hear about name calling.
No. But let's be abundantly clear. There's no love lost on these sides. There's no warm feelings or attempt to build a bridge here. So you're going to tell me, I hate you, you hate me, and now let's celebrate together. That's not how politics works. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I know, that's not a good thing. I'm not saying that's what it should be, but we got to talk about the reality of the world we live in. And the reality is that, these people are going to make really kind of stupid decisions sometimes just for the name of the game.
I'm a big believer in take the win whenever you can get one because they're few and far between these days, especially with this do-nothing, least productive Congress ever shtick. They can take the win and they can go out there.
We're not going to do that, are we?
And they can. No, I'm just saying this is the least productive Congress we've ever had.
Congress. I mean, listen, I can call over and get every stat that they have in the Senate and the House because I know with the historic obstruction by Senate Democrats, they've still been able to pass both consequential legislation and approve nominees.
Aaron's going to go call the librarian.
Listen, it's usually the secretary of the Senate, not the librarian of the Senate.
You're such a nerd. You're such a congressional nerd.
You learn your rules. If you don't, you'll be eaten by a bear.
What in the bloody hell?
Have you never seen The Office?
Yes, but this is not the time or place for this, Aaron. We're trying to have serious conversation about policy, and you're singing songs like some sort of avid elementary school gone wrong.
Gone right. You're welcome. I am High School Musical. Any who's a boozle, this is still a Senate that is passing and making sure that the cabinet and nominees are handled in a record-breaking time. So what I want here is least productive, because that's not the reality. However, on the contrarian side of this to the Republicans, which is, it is a bipartisan bill. It doesn't matter if Paris Hilton supports it, because I will tell you this, though. On Paris Hilton, great advocacy work. Incredible
amazing.
Advocacy.
She's been terrific. She really has.
Not only on this deep AI fake stuff, because the sex tape about her got leaked without her consent.
Yep.
Then it was that the images of her body
have been exploited
into other forms. Absolutely. This should be a no-brainer. But politics warps the brain. Politics makes the brain inept. And it makes it inept in the ability to face reality and say, you know what? This is easy. Let's get the win where we get it. And tout it. The same way that Republicans or Democrats, if they voted for the One Big Beautiful Bill, or they voted against Joe Biden's bill for investment in the infrastructure bill, they'll still tout the success that
the benefits
comes from
of
that
it.
Bill
That's right.
in their district. They'll be like, look at what I got for the old district, another 100 mil on this or 10 mil on that. They'll take
I'm just saying
the
they're
win.
Denying themselves a win when there's not a lot to be crowing about.
Totally
these days.
Agree. But
and for the very mature reason of worrying about AOC in 2028.
I know. 2028 though, Kurt, we've done this once before. Mm-hmm. What's your hot list? Where are you right now? Rank them. And Hassan, give me your take on his take of the game and how much influence you think that has.
I think he has zero influence in this at all, by the way. But I do think that AOC, by virtue of having, I think, some monopoly on the far left vote, I don't think anyone's going to really be able to compete with her outside I know Roe's going for that same lane, but I just think AOC just has it wired and she'll have the Bernie support and the Warren support. So you can't ignore someone who in a very crowded primary is going to get at least 25% no matter what you do. Win, lose, or draw, she's going to at least get one
she
quarter of the Democratic
with
primary
that number.
Vote.
Yeah.
She is going to be an incredibly formative, and she can certainly at the very least dictate who is going to be the nominee. It ain't going to be her. Whoever she points to and the rest of that list and ends up getting behind, she can be kingmaker or queenmaker in this case. So she's going to have a big say of it. I still don't think you can ignore. I mean, okay, part of this depends on the schedule. There's a debate right now happening between the Democratic Party, whether it should be South Carolina, which has obviously a heavy black vote, or Nevada, which has a heavy Latino vote. And there's a rupture between this Bannock and the black coalitions and the Democratic Party over which one
Jim
gets to go
Clyburn
first.
Jim Clyburn will die on that hill. He will die on that
Well, he's pretty
hill.
Old, so he just might.
That's not the joke, but I more mean, like, this is a guy who has fought to keep South Carolina relevant. And people can love or lump, you know, the former Senator Lindsey Graham. He did the same thing, but Clyburn was the one who made Joe Biden president of the United States.
He did, 100%. 100% right.
So, yeah, great fight. Man, it ain't just the socialists versus mods anymore.
It's regional.
East Coast versus West Coast, right?
There's some East-West hate going on here. I think Nevada makes more sense, if only because it is consequential in the general election. Like, I would like our nominees, if I'm the Democrats, to be, you know, the gauntlet should start and end with states that matter in the general election. So
you
I would be
think,
looking
like,
at...
You don't think, precedent matters? Like, how
I could give
you
two shits about precedent.
It's a fair question, though. I'm not saying whether you like it or lump it, but I'm saying...
Oh, no, I just think that like,
caucus,
the precedent of
Iowa
also,
and Iowa's
New Hampshire...
been first. You're going to really, as a Democrat who need to win these big states and these big electorates, aren't you risking marginalizing these smaller states, especially for Democrats who... I have heard plenty of Democrat Socialists of America recently saying that the U.S. Senate doesn't represent the American people appropriately. And somehow, I don't even know because it's not true, was founded in Jim Crow, even though the Senate's older than Jim Crow laws. All of that aside, you would be marginalizing. The reason Iowa and New Hampshire have maintained power nationally isn't because they're big swing states anymore.
Right.
It's because they're smaller states on the early schedule and it still gives them power. Are Democrats okay with the working man, bottom up, we're going to do this as a team to marginalize smaller states in the name of bigger states that matter in the general election? It seems like hypocrisy.
Well, I think that if you go to a calendar that is Nevada, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan,
not
I think
small
you're getting,
states.
I think okay, but you're still getting blue collar people.
Road
you're
map
still
to
getting
win.
Yeah,
that's ethos
right. I
versus
care
the
about
reality
winning.
Of how they live.
You, like, listen,
yeah,
it'll look.
You guys
I, you know what I always say. You know what I always say about process,
Blender,
Aaron. It'll always look better after you win. Might look ugly on the front end, but if you
winners
win, it'll
history,
look just fine.
Losers go home. You're right. But it again screams of the ethos of Democrats to be hypocrites.
Everyone,
time they get the
everyone
chance.
Everyone in politics is a hypocrite. Every political
I don't
party
know. We
is
still
a hypocrite.
Caucus and primary the same way with the knowledge that we appreciate what smaller states bring to the national conversation. And so we still do Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary.
I think when you're talking about a party that is built on the idea that they are a diverse coalition, having
your
first two be among the whitest states in the union makes zero sense demographically for your party.
Still not a great argument for marginalizing smaller states in the union. Find me a state that is small that meets the demographical bias that Democrats want to have in this moment to make it make sense.
I don't
understand how Democrats
but
can argue
it. Politically,
does
it make
both.
Sense to keep giving states outsized influence who don't
but
vote Democrat in the general election?
Right.
Like, why would you let them choose your nominee?
That's what it is. Politically, it's never anything more than politics and power for Democrats. One moment,
yeah,
they
that's
scream,
how you win.
Grasping for oxygen about equal representation
yeah.
and making sure that the smallest voice is heard, but given the opportunity to ensure it happens in the Democratic process. And listen, I know the history of the Democrat Party. The Democrat process be damned. They'll just anoint when shit comes down to it because they don't give a flip about what you actually think. They're going to tell you in the end what you think. Hello, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Hey, Graham Plattner, 600 insiders in Maine. Democrats, time and again, the hypocrisy. Ooh, like if it was a bowl of mac and cheese, I'd be eating it up because y'all are just feeding it all day. I just don't get it.
I only care
how
about
do
winning.
You defend it?
I don't care about process.
Boo.
I'm pragmatic. I'm a former Republican, so I just care about winning. Just get the W. That's all I'm saying. We'll make it look good retroactively. When we win, we can make it look really good.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're
winners
killing me.
Write history, Aaron.
Loser goes home. Right. And you're right. Winners do write history. And you know what the history of the Democrat Party is going to be? A joke. Y'all are a joke. Y'all don't stand for anything, so you'll fall
for
anything.
If they keep losing, they will be a joke, and they should be a joke. I care about winning, period.
But you're willing to sell it all for the win, right?
Yes,
like you
absolutely
keep saying,
I am. Absolutely I am. 100%.
Graham Plattner.
No, I don't believe he could have won.
Marginalizing everything you guys stand for.
He wasn't going to win. He wasn't going to win. He can go. The Nazi tattoo, get out. He wasn't going to win. Too much baggage.
You loved him.
I never loved him. Oh, I was not,
you,
on
not
the Plattner
that's fair.
Train.
That's fair. Not you, the royal you of Democrats.
Yes.
That's fair. Never
yes.
Kurt Bardella.
Never
Kurt
Bardella.
Fair, fair.
If they listened to Kurt Bardella, they would have avoided that shit show.
But you have right now to tell them avoid the shit show, and yet you're
I
still,
do it all
like,
the time. They don't listen to
it.
Me. I have more influence with Republicans than Democrats these days. It's ironic. Hence the problem with the Democratic Party.
That's right, folks. Start listening to Kurt. Well. Who is your list for 2028 right now? Give me top 4 or 5. I don't know.
I'm going to say I still don't think you can ignore Andy Beshear. I've always been very high on him. I don't think you can ignore what John Ossoff is doing in Georgia. Like he is going to be incredibly formidable, I think. And I do not discount AOC. Like she's definitely in the top 3.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Sleeper pick. My sleeper pick is someone who I can think gain ground and become, if he plays it right, interesting and prominent is Wes Moore.
Well, I mean, we'll see what the Potomac smells like in a month since he literally allowed a shitstorm.
A literal
of sewage
shitstorm.
Flowing into. Again, Democrats, the hypocrisy of it all. You all sit here and talk about environmental protection. And then you
somewhere.
Just let shit flow into the river here in Virginia.
No.
And y'all are like,
That sounds like Virginia's
whoopsie
problem.
Whoopsie poopsie.
Sounds like Virginia's song. Whoopsie poopsie. More like it.
Oh, well, someone ask Abigail Spanberger, all right? Because it ain't getting better. But I think that could, you know, we'll see what the swamp
West
smells
has got
like
some
in
talent.
Month.
That's all I'm going to say. People who have seen him up close have been singing his praises at some of these gatherings.
Ask Beto how talent goes.
I don't believe Beto had a bunch of talent. That's my thing, too. I
Vanity
never got
Fair
it.
Fair did.
Well, there's your first exhibit A of why you should not be like, oh, that's he's toast. That's like the Sports Illustrated cover curse or the Madden cover curse. You get that
the
kind
Madden
of treatment, you're
curse.
Going down.
Yeah, okay. Well, speaking of going down, Wisconsin.
Democrats. Okay.
So I've done two cycles in Wisconsin. I've spent a lot of time in Wisconsin. I know the state pretty well. I did 10 and 12, so it's been a minute since I've been campaign side.
The
full-time
Scott Walker
in state.
Years.
I know. Ooh, Act 10. Want to talk about people taking over capitals? They moved in for months.
They did.
You
they squatted.
About that letter. And the thing about the Wisconsin Capitol is not just the legislature. It's also the executive and the judicial. Mm-hmm. It's all three in one
all
building.
All three in one. That's right.
And those people all moved into Madison like they weren't paying rent, and they weren't. So now we've got the Democrat primary. And Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez.
They had a clear front runner for 5 seconds.
Yes, Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez. She dropped out because she found major campaign finance issues of
some
her own investigation. So she had much less money than she thought. Dropped out of the
race.
And now there are two other, including one other person and a state legislator with the last name Fong, mm-hmm. who is a socialist. But
yes.
To support Rodriguez and kind of try to make her the moderate nominee, they Crowley, who is also a Wisconsin elected official, dropped out. And he's
initially
now back
in. He's back. He's back.
He's back.
And immediately
and he's
got the endorsement of the sitting governor.
Tony Evers.
Governor Evers.
And so Tony Evers endorsed him. Well, our
whoopsies.
Good friend Crowley here has a little burner Twitter account called... Hold your pants, everyone. The name of the Twitter account.
The name. This name.
Dirt McGurk.
Dirt McGurk.
Dirt McGurk
coming at you live from Madison.
Has a Twitter
He's
account.
He's at the office at 6 p.m. alone. Come keep him company.
And he is being racist, sexist, and homophobic.
Dirt McGurk is. We don't know for sure that it's Crowley, for the record. And the Crowley campaign has come out and said publicly, that this is what they've said, whether you believe it or not, it's a different story, that he did not tweet those things. Other people had access to that account. Plausibly have been that.
Yeah.
I just
report
the facts.
The burner account in politics is a tale as old as time. And we can go back to Mitt Romney and the OG, in my mind, Pierre Delecto.
Yes.
Which was the Mitt Romney Twitter. But that Twitter was more very occasionally picking pro-Romney fights to throw in like a pro-Romney sentiment versus just like he never
just spouting off nonsense things.
Deeply hatred.
Some racist,
like
people, anti,
yeah.
you know. Some, yeah,
this
yeah,
wasn't... That
not
burner
good.
Account wasn't to show that he was a monster.
Now,
that
for the record, these are tweets from like 2014, by the way. Like, this is not something that happened like yesterday, for what it's worth. Different time, I'm just saying.
How much is that worth?
I probably not much, but I'm just providing contextualization here that this is not like tweet surface
context,
that were made
how,
yesterday,
how
but like 10 years ago. I mean, you know, a lot's happened in 10 years. 10 years
but
ago,
now,
I was a Republican.
So Crowley, but here's the political reality of this. Dirt McGurk being a monster aside and Crowley being insane asylum. He is a bit of a spoiler candidate right now. He came back in the race to try and be the anti-Grab Plantner, the anti-Grab
Plantner.
He was
going to be the Troy Jackson of Wisconsin. That's what he was going for.
That
he
was
going
to try and like right the ship a little bit, but get away from the crazy progressives like Fong. And instead, now he's going to be a spoiler and probably make the progressive the nominee in Wisconsin. And listen, it's a purple state. It's a purple state as long as the day
is.
And I say that because in 2010, Wisconsin elected Ron Johnson to the U.S. Senate.
Indeed.
Manufacturer from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. 2 years later, elects Tammy Baldwin to the U.S. Senate. You could not have more different members than that delegation.
True.
But now you've got the opportunity because of Dirt McGurk to put a progressive on the top of the ticket. That's a gubernatorial in a big year where Democrats could take Wisconsin. They could take the assembly, the Senate, and the gubernatorial, but Dirt McGurk could push Fong over. Come on,
well,
Democrats.
For Democrats,
but I can't
read
for you.
Really,
so, woo, go Tom Tiffany.
What they should really be thinking about here is for if you were to believe the Democratic line about their fears about how democracy is going to play out and who's going to have what control over voting and all that. Wisconsin's a big swing state here. You would think that you would want the governor to be of your party.
The wow counties.
During the 28-29 counting of general election ballots that will be happening. And that, like, they're playing with fire here. But again, there's a part of me, honestly, as someone who is currently a Democrat and hopes to remain a Democrat.
Oh, currently, how John Fetterman of you?
I would like all of these socialist candidates to win their primaries and get their asses handed to them just so that we could just put it to bed. Like, this is the thing that I felt Republicans went through a little bit during the 2010s when they went too far with like a Todd Akin or Chrissy O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. And they lost very winnable states.
One of the most iconic ads in politics.
I am not
a
witch.
We could do a whole episode on iconic ads. That is Chrissy O'Donnell. I'm not a witch.
Top of mind. I am not a witch. And I think that it will serve Democrats better long term to go through these pains right now, lose a couple winnable seats, and put it to bed, because what always happens is if they don't get their way, if these leftists lose some of these primaries and they get to keep coming back year after year, blame the establishment, blame whatever. But if they get their person, they get their guy, and then they lose, it's like, hey, you know what? You had your shot. You couldn't get it done. It doesn't work outside of New York City. Shocker. Shut the fuck up and go away. Like that. That's kind of what I hope happens.
Well, I mean, it's a tale as old as time of see if you can fight the party back by letting it lose in a year where Democrats are going to be looking at the smallest majority. I mean, the Iran War Powers Resolution passed today with four votes from Republicans in the House because the margins are so close. I appreciate your I want to win mentality. I also appreciate let them burn themselves down to the ground, but you're not going to be able to have both. Yeah, like I don't see an instant, right? It just the math doesn't math on it. Also, in New York, the three Democrat socialists that won primaries in New York City and the commie corridor, we're looking at that reality. You know, the arsonist is in the House now asking for the fire department's help. And Democrats don't seem to have a plan other than we're either going to see if we can battle it off or hope they lose.
Yep, I'm in the hope they lose department. Bigger picture. Better to lose now than in 3 years. That's what I say.
Speaking of bravery.
Yes.
J.D. Vance, apparently vice president of the United States, has fired.
Oh, yes.
Allegedly, this is all reporting. A member of the Secret Service detail over leaking a story about the unhappiness of the Secret Service being on his detail, including wanting to take his son to a golf lesson in a helicopter.
I have to tell you, get did the A1, chopper.
A1 day one on the copter thing. No. Mm-hmm. No. I don't, if that's real, no. The answer is no, you do not get to take baby Vance in a copter to the golf
to a
lesson.
Golf lesson. Come on.
If Usha was in labor and couldn't get through traffic to give birth, copter. Get that woman
copter
up
all
let's
the way.
The second
I'm fine with that all day long. Absolutely.
The golf lesson, better schedule your time then. That's called being a parent, I feel
it's called
like.
Time and management, folks.
I'm not the vice
deal
president.
With it every day.
I know his schedule is difficult. I'm sure Usha's is just as difficult. They have a newborn copter. No. No. And then potentially firing an agent as retaliation.
Not good.
No,
not a good
because
look.
These palace intrigue stories that are starting now, which is the only reason why I think this is significant, honestly, this starts now as a narrative for him. You're difficult.
Oh,
your family's
that's exactly
difficult.
Right.
Your kids are, you make your kids difficult because of all the way you want,
cast them out as high maintenance, spoiled brats.
You are going to have a hard time being and listen, JD's a great communicator. But that narrative, if that infects the blood, I don't know how he comes out of it.
No, well, and it's like if this ends up being true, Yeah. And we start getting details about, let's pretend that it's a Secret Service agent who has served multiple administrations, a distinguished career, like, that's just a bad look, man. I mean, reassign them, sure.
If it was a rookie agent who leaked because he was unhappy, okay, fine. Like, a younger agent who's just unhappy and, like, leaks.
I just say take him to the woodshed, but reassign him. I'm not, like we get to the point here where, we talked about,
but you can't leak, though, a Secret Service. That's an issue.
No, you can't, but, like, who's to say how this actually went down? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many ways this stuff gets out. We're at a time where we hear it regularly. The Secret Service is underfunded, undermanned, hurting for recruits, overworked, and it's like, are we really in a position to be?
And the threat levels higher,
like,
and higher.
Like you have to be at a certain level to be assigned to the vice president's detail or his family. Like, you're not just some schmuck, you know, out of Treasury. Okay, so, like,
and
we
you're
have
not a rookie,
finite,
generally.
You're generally not a rookie, so it's like we have finite resources here, manpower wise. So maybe don't, like. And also, what do you think this is going to do for you with the rest of the agents who worked with this guy, who planned a softball scene with them, who like him probably? Like, this is not the way, Jade. I'm just saying that I think it's a huge mistake. You don't like someone, reassign them. That happens all the time. Don't fire him, man. That's not a good move.
None of it.
And like
I
said, you're absolutely right. The image, the PR image of, like, oh, you're difficult, you're high maintenance, you're thin skinned. Like, these are things that we usually ascribe to spouses, frankly, in politics that act this way. JD, not the move, bro.
Can't shake that once it's on you. That's the thing. If that narrative grabs hold to him that you are difficult. You're cooked. No matter,
people don't want to deal with that.
Two-faced. It's the flip-flop. It's the untrustworthy. It's you say one thing, but you do another, and you continue to build that narrative. No matter how good he is as a communicator, and he'll go into The View, he'll go into a lion's den and be a great communicator. But if people believe that you're difficult, you're never going to. That is a poison in politics.
That's right.
People let someone. Even if they didn't think they could have a beer with Donald Trump, they at least think that they could walk up to him and be like, hey, and he'd be like, he could be approachable.
Approachable, 100%.
If you get that mentality, that's a killer in politics.
Well, speaking of difficult and approachability, let's play the dating
game. Let's not talk about me like that.
I wouldn't know firsthand, thank freaking God, but dating's gotten expensive. It's very hard on the people out there right now. So we're looking for new ways, cheaper ways to have that first date.
Wall Street Journal has a piece about Gen Z picking cheaper dates. Coffee, ice cream.
Not people, the actual experience of dating. Not cheaper dates, like.
Right.
But, like, you know, experiences, cheaper experiences.
I mean, I get it. I grew up going to movie dates.
I said, what happened to dinner and a movie?
Right? Like, I don't remember being heavily courted on the... I mean, listen, when my husband and I started dating, it was a completely different story. And, like,
we're not all going to Nobu here, you know?
Yeah,
some of us
I mean,
can't
Connor
do that
swept me off my feet very quickly. But we were also in our 30s and a very different point in our life.
Yes.
Versus being younger, I kind of appreciate the idea that, like, listen, also, this is the COVID era. Children dating. They don't know how to act in public. And listen, I don't know how to act in public either, but that's just because I'm a
monster. I've seen you in public.
But at least they have an excuse to keep the interaction shorter. I get that we take a millennial or a Gen X mentality to a lot of what we see from Gen Z and Gen Alpha and to say, like, oh, what are you doing? But also, like, we were young, dumb, and broke at one point, too. And we did movie dates.
At least dumb and broke. I don't know about the young part anymore, but still got that part going.
But, like, and listen, but, like, the fact that the Wall Street Journal, like, has this piece out there, like, boomer, leave the chitlins alone if they're just going to run around and go on coffee dates. Because also, they don't know how to behave in public. They'll take a shorter date versus having to commit a couple hours. And me, I think that's smart because if I was dating, and I'm not, but limit the window of awkwardness. If it's awkward, and extend if you like.
I mean, I the Larry David in me is like, yes, less is more. I know, I've always known within 5 minutes whether or not there was a there. And so if I have to do 5 minutes plus another hour and a half, that's tedious, painful, not fun for anybody. I would much rather do 5 minutes like, I only got 15 more minutes left of this coffee. So that's anyone could get through that under any scenario.
It's like speed dating, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. You just keep it quick.
Leave the Gen Zers alone, folks. Let them have this one.
We got to stop being boomers, right? We got to stop being the old curmudgeons that are like, these cheap kids, because then we're mad at them that they're not saving money and they can't afford a house. And the hypocrisy, America.
Today's theme is hypocrisy from all corners. Parents, kids, political parties.
Media, everybody, get it together.
And remember, vote Erin McGuire for president in 2028. She's old enough now,
folks. Let me in. I'm old enough.
All right. Well, we were going to leave it at that. That charming visual of Erin's campaign launching. Write her in. We could do worse, which is terrifying.
That's my campaign slogan. We could do worse.
We could do worse. All right. All right, party animals. Have a party great rest on. Of your weekend. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.